So we got some wonderful news. At 10 a.m., 7 pounds, 8 ounces, Garland Schramm came into this world kicking and screaming, just like his daddy. So we don't. So healthy, they're doing well. Ed just got the text, and so what a blessing it is to know that we have another child that will be raised in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
A blessing for all of us to be excited about, and an encouragement for all of us to make sure that we are doing our part as the church, as parents, and as individuals to make sure we're teaching our children in the way of the Lord from Scripture and by our example. This morning, I'd like to talk about overcoming. We're in a time right now in this world where there's a lot of strange things going on. And so I thought it convenient and necessary to preach on the idea of overcoming. You know, today we give certain words a lot of power over us. Now, there are some words that we use that need to carry some weight in our lives. Right? We talked about identifying ourselves as a Christian. That should be who we are. That word must carry weight in our lives. Words like love, faithfulness, and forgiveness need to mean something to us. But in reality, far too many words are given power over us by none other than ourselves. You know, there's a saying that goes, "We are looking for the enemy, and we as him." So often, we are the enemies in our own lives. We are the ones who cause ourselves to stumble. And we need to think differently about how we define ourselves. Think about that for a moment. How many times do we use certain words to rule our lives? Words that should have no use in our life. You know, one word comes to mind today for me that is something that I'm very sensitive to. I've been either affected by it directly, and I know all of us have been affected by it indirectly. And that word is addiction. Now, if you were to look up this word and define it and see how it is defined, that word would read something like a mental disorder or a disease that affects the brain and begins to be patterned into a behavior. You know, for this definition, it seems almost impossible to overcome. The moment it's said, it's who you are. You have no choice in the matter. But that cannot be further from the truth. For me, this word has been a plague not only in my life, but we see it on a societal front and a world stage. Now, before I continue, I want to make sure that I emphasize this very clearly, because we must understand that some individuals will have a harder time overcoming certain things in their lives. There are some things that people struggle with day in and day out, and some people will need more help than others. And we as the church need to be empathetic and sympathetic to that very cause. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 5. Because I'm setting up a foundation upon which we can understand that we all need help. All of us need help daily. But we'll read here that there's a responsibility in this idea of help that all of us must consider. So we'll go ahead and start reading in Galatians chapter 6. 1 through 5. And Paul writes, "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Listen to this. "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load." You know, this is a wonderful passage that challenges each and every one of us to the very core. I mean, at least it should, right? When we read this and see what's being said here, we should examine this and see, how do we align with the Word of God? Trust me, for so long I've struggled with some of these ideas. But we got to move past that. We got to see that we have a responsibility as a church to help those along the way. We as a church have a responsibility every day to preach the Word. Marshall Keeble would say that preaching the Word in season and out of season means preach it whether they want to hear it or whether they don't want to hear it. We need to preach the Word. But it also reminds us in this scripture that, again, we all need help. And helping each other is a requirement from God. You would have to take this passage out of context completely to miss that. You see that we are responsible for helping each other. But now we can also read from this text that each one must bear their own load also. So what does that mean? What it means is we all have a choice to make. And when we allow a word like addiction to define us and to be defined and taught as a mental disorder or disease that is far too complex for the simple-minded person to ever understand, then we'll never be able to bear a pebble. But doesn't this kind of teaching sound familiar? You just won't understand it. You know, there's a lot of denominations out there that teach you can't understand the Bible without some sort of miraculous revelation. And sadly, countless millions have been made off this false idea, this wicked doctrine, that it's just too difficult to understand. They say, you can't understand the Bible. You can't understand addiction. You can't understand this. You can't understand that. The only thing I see in here is people can't understand the truth. And you want to talk about a wicked four-letter word, say can't. Because you've already determined in your mind that you're not going to even try. Instead of saying can't, try think I won't. Make it more personal. Realize that God has given us a brain that gives us the ability to think things through. We did not come from monkeys. We came from the Almighty God. And we are a precious gem in the sight of His eyes. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, 1 through 5, that all of us have a choice. All of us have the ability to understand what's expected from us. All of us have the mind that can grow and be renewed into a way of thinking that aligns and patterns our life after God's Word. It's not too complex. It's not too difficult. Now, that doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. That doesn't mean that things aren't going to be hard at times. But what it does emphasize is the fact that we can overcome. And in 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, it reads, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that when we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." I think I misread. We'll pick up in verse 2. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." What a wonderful set of scripture. I mean, you see that? Whoever believes indicates that there's a choice. You have a choice before you today. Who will you follow? What will you believe in? The Word of God or the foolishness of man? That's how simple it is. Again, the choices are belief in Christ or don't believe. It's two sets. You've got those who are saved and those who are not. And when we allow ourselves to be consumed by worldly words, we identify with the latter. But from that belief, a pattern must be followed. Otherwise, where's the belief? That pattern that is followed is the commandments of God. For those who think grace only, they'll have a hard time with this verse. Because in order to be identified as a child of God, one by necessity must follow the standard that God had outlined. It's simple. But not only that, we can recognize from following that outline, a glorious victory takes place. A victory in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And that victory literally means to have success. Have you thought about that? Just think about how the world defines success, right? It's a person with the fancy car, the fancy house, the nice clothes, all these materialistic things. We read in Wednesday night Bible class about where are we laying up our treasures? Because where our treasures are, there is our heart. Are they in the temporal things? Or the eternal things? There's a saying that goes that you brought nothing into this world and you'll take nothing out with you. And if you did take the things out with you, they'll burn where you're going. Where is our heart? It's interesting to think about one word here, victory, and define it and look at it and see how it applies to us, because there's so much power in that one word. You can gain so much wisdom from one word in the Word of God than listening to 2-hour studies talked by men. We waste a lot of time relying on words of men rather than looking to the Word of God. Because in this world we live right now, the word addiction has total control. And the individual who uses that misses the true, misses the measure of true, eternal, and satisfying success and victory in Christ. But please understand, all this starts with a choice. You can read about that in Joshua, where he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But today, make a choice for yourself. Whom will you serve? All of us have a choice. And from those choices, there are consequences. Are we willing to live up to the consequences based upon the choices we make? God has given us a powerful tool. And that tool is our brain. And we must use it wisely. In Hebrews chapter 5, 13 through 14, the Hebrew writer talks about this ability to have our senses trained and exercised and to make the most of what we have learned. Hebrews 5, 13 through 14 reads, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." If you don't use it, you lose it. And trust me, there are plenty of people walking around without a brain, it seems like. Not to be ugly, Just making an observation. Because if we use it properly, there's nothing in this world that can shackle us. There's nothing in this world that can enslave us. There's nothing in this world that can ensnare us. If we are using the Word of God appropriately, if we are using it to live our life by. And what a wonderful blessing it is to know that, again, that we have been created by the Almighty God and did not spawn from some mud pie. It didn't happen. And we need to be teaching our children this because it is being taught everywhere. I mean, you can't turn on a TV show. You can't see a commercial. You can't look on YouTube. You can't go on Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media outlet there is. You know, every movie now has some sort of idea how we came from something other than God. We need to be careful with our children. And we need to exercise our senses daily in our spiritual nature. It is far too easy to fall in temptation if we don't fill that void with spiritual food. It's easy to want to give ourselves over to the lusts of the flesh. But we have to stand firm in the faith. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 through 23, this scripture has been read several times in the last couple of days. And I've just been thinking about it. Because I want to make a point after reading it that I think all of us should pay close attention to. In Matthew chapter 6, 22 through 23, Christ says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Again, two choices. Your body is full of the light because of the eye, or it's full of darkness. Again, this scripture has been brought up a couple of times in the last few days and has caused me to think how careful we must be with what we see and what we do with what we see. Amen. If we are constantly surrounding ourselves with darkness, what's the outcome? If we're constantly putting ourselves in a situation that is sinful, what's the outcome? Satan is powerful and the father of lies. We would be foolish to think otherwise. We don't want to play around with that. Whatever that is, we do not want to play around with that. He has no care for your soul, your families, or anyone in the church. All he thinks about is how many people he can take with hell to him, because that's where he's going. And if we're not careful with who we surround ourselves with, who we listen to, and who we allow to influence ourselves and our kids, we will be right there with them. You know, I was talking with someone up at work, and we were discussing the age of the earth. And, of course, carbon dating gets brought in. And, I mean, I don't have time for that. I'm sorry. I told him I don't pay much attention on that a theory based on something that has nothing to do with the flood. He said, "Well, you'll sound ignorant talking to someone who believes in that." And I said, "I'd rather sound ignorant and be in heaven than sound accepting and be in hell." Because too many of us want to try and just be so tolerant that we forget the truth. We all have a choice to make. All of us have a choice to make. What are we going to do with those choices? Are we going to allow a word like addiction to have control over us? Are we going to allow a word like can't to be the first thing that comes into our mind when we're thinking about going out and spreading the gospel? I can't do it. Are we going to allow these words, again, to control us that have no right doing that? And again, being sensitive to this very word, because I understand that there are struggles out there. But what is it worth to us? What are we willing to give up in this? What profit a man that he gives up his own soul for the things in this world? We can have victory in Christ, and that must be our mindset. And so I want to conclude with this set of scripture, and actually Tom had touched on it during the Lord's Supper and is going to continue in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51. Because there is victory in Christ. There is victory over this world in Christ. There is victory over the things that shackle us, that we can be set free from the shackles of sin by obedience to Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51, Paul writes, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruptible, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, because of that, he's going to say, therefore, because of these things, because of victory in Christ, that we know that Christ lived on this earth, went to the cross, was crucified, was put in that rocky tomb, and yet rose on the third day and ascended into heaven. Because of those things we know, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Family, our work in the Lord is not in vain because we know these things to be true. We know that we are not doing things that are just vanity, meaning worthless, meaningless, purposeless. We have a purpose, and that is to glorify God. A word like addiction will leave you empty and with no hope. But faithfulness and obedience will give you the strength to overcome this world. Church family, what choice will we make? What will we share? Are we willing to spread the truth and teach that addiction is not the problem, but sin is the problem? We would save a lot of time by just identifying these things as sinful, as opposed to trying to use man-made words to water down the reality. The root of the problem is sin, and that is what so greatly infests the world today. But please understand that we can overcome this world. We can overcome this death by being children of God, joint heirs with Christ. And how do we do that? We do that by hearing the word of God. We do that by believing in Christ and who Christ was and what he did and who he is for us. And we repent of our sinful ways. Repent in a turning in a way of thinking and turning towards God. And you confess. You confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth, from your heart, in true obedience. And you be baptized by crucifying that old man. Crucifying him to death so that you can have victory in Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Sometimes we stop there, but the Bible doesn't stop there. The Word of God says that you arise and walk in a newness of life. You are a new man. You are a new creature in Christ. If there's anything that we can do to help you this morning, please let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.